This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:37, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana, Shaoning and Philip. In the meantime, we're going to turn to other corporate news from the international sphere, and that is regarding GE. So the once mighty General Electric, or GE, last week announced its plan to break into three public companies, signaling an end to the 129-year-old conglomerate. And just after that news came out, Toshiba and Johnson & Johnson also announced their breakup plans.
So for GE, they'll be splitting into three businesses focusing on energy, healthcare, and aviation, while the Japanese giant Toshiba is dividing into infrastructure, devices, and memory chips. Meanwhile, Johnson & Johnson plans to spin off its consumer health division that sells Listerine and baby powder to focus on pharmaceuticals and medical devices. All three of these companies are more than 100 years old and cited focus as one of the reasons to split.
So the question we're asking today is, what's the story here? Why are all these conglomerates breaking up? Are conglomerates no longer relevant? Is bigger no longer better? So for a perspective on this today, we speak to Karen Ubelhart, an industry analyst from Bloomberg. Karen, good morning. Thanks for joining us. Let's talk about GE. You know, what was this split expected? And does the timing make sense as economic recovery is still uncertain?
I would say that many investors felt this was the end game for GE. There are three or four, if you break up power and renewables, remaining businesses. And there really wasn't anything from an end market perspective to link them together. But this announcement certainly came much earlier than expected. I would characterize a general view as that healthcare was expected, perhaps as early as next year, that it would be announced. Once power and renewables were fixed, perhaps a total breakup would occur. That's how I would characterize the expectation. I think the timeline for the final split, which is 2.5 years out, longer than expected, is probably okay. Normally, in the spinoffs that I've seen, the timeline is sort of announced in 12 to 18 months, it's done. This is a very extended announcement to completion, because completion is supposed to happen in 2024. But the breakup timeline actually makes sense to me, because healthcare, which is doing very well now and has been, is going to come first. And, that'll be ready to go. Nothing needs to be fixed there. And the other businesses will follow in 2024. And aviation is a terrific business, but as you know, because of COVID-19, it's very depressed. And that's not expected to be in full recovery until 2024. If you look at the third business, power and renewables, which will now be combined, they're barely profitable. But by 2024, they're expected to at least have mid-single, high single-digit margins. So at least they'll be generating cash flow and earnings. So I think by timing it to 2024, they're giving the long-cycle business aviation time to recover, and they're giving the power business time to get, quote, fixed or fully restructured. So I think the timing, 2023-24, is good.
GE's CEO Larry Culp said that this is to unlock value and to stay lean and focused. So why can't the individual operating units do that while being under the umbrella of a company?
Focus is the buzzword for industrial companies these days. So there has been so many breakups and splits and spin-offs in U.S. industrials, and I know it's happening elsewhere as well. But there certainly are well-run conglomerates. I'd say that the negative side of a conglomerate, particularly if it gets too big, remember GE used to be in 8 businesses or 9 businesses, you know, very, very complex. You know, there's always the favorite children that get the capital, and there's the smaller ones or the lower growth ones that don't get the capital or as much capital, right? You put your money where you think you'll get the best returns, right? As standalone companies, they will get more focus. You know, in the case of GE, the corporate headquarters got to be a big drag on the operations. It just got big and bloated. They can be more focused on a standalone basis. The argument for a conglomerate, particularly an industrial conglomerate, was to smooth the economic cycles, right? So you're not just in one business that goes up and down with the economy. You're in 5 businesses and they're not all on the same cycle. So it would smooth the volatility of the earnings. That was the thinking. And when I first started covering industrials, conglomerates got premiums because of that reduced volatility. Now, conglomerates are out of favor and they sell at discounts. So the second argument is valuation, that the valuation will probably improve for good businesses as pure plays.
Now, over the weekend, Toshiba and Johnson & Johnson also announced their breakup plans. I just want to know, do you think that the conglomerate model is not as successful as it used to be?
I've been doing this for a long time, and this conglomerates, you know, anti-conglomerate movements tend to go in waves. And in the 60s, there were a lot of conglomerates, and they were investors favored them very, very much. And then in the 80s, there was a lot of breakups and leveraged buyouts, and people were spinning off businesses and narrowing the focus again. And then, you know, in the 90s and the 2000s, I mean, they got premiums in the 10 to 15% premiums to the market, and certainly a lot higher multiples than, let's say, a Cat or a Deere that was a very, very cyclical industrial business. And they were in favor. And then in the last, I'd say, 5-6 years, they're not in favor anymore. So I think for now, the conglomerate model is out of favor. But my view is once we get into some really, truly difficult economic periods, which will come, the volatility of being in a single business is going to show. And then I think people are going to say, maybe I should have something to balance this volatility. So I think it goes in waves. And right now, people think the conglomerate model is broken. I mean, I have two examples. Honeywell, ITW are just two off the top of my head that are very well-run conglomerates that work like a dream. But right now, it's not in favor.
What do you think are the main challenges for conglomerates in order to continue thriving?
I'd say one is within an organization, the competition for capital. If you looked at, I'll use another example, Fortive. Their money flowed to their growth businesses. Their more mature businesses weren't getting money for M&A. They probably weren't getting as much money for R&D. You know what I mean? Like their companies do. If you look at Emerson, very good company. All of their M&A and most of their investment has been going in their automation solutions business, not their commercial and residential business, which is like an air conditioning, you know, climate kind of business. So that business, I don't want to say starved for capital, but their access to capital has been more limited than automation solutions, which is 2/3 of the company and kind of their core business. So, you know, one is the competition for capital within a large organization. The second thing is the valuation. Investors care about value. They're not going to run to buy these companies at the moment. They favor buying, but making focus plays. Like you'll hear people say, well, you know, I don't need GE to run a healthcare business for me. And by GE, I can buy a healthcare business as a standalone business and get a bigger bang for my buck. So valuation is the other factor. And then just the ability to run a complex organization, right? You know, you have two businesses, you can follow them closely. You have, you know, seven businesses. It's just much harder to run.
You know, on the flip side, we see many large tech businesses even expand their offerings. Are they the next conglomerates?
It's funny. I think in a way they are, right? I mean, they've certainly had many of the larger ones, monopolistic power in their core business is what they started in, right? And the large tech companies generate so much cash, like, where am I going to put it? So, you know, they're buying up a lot of other businesses to branch out. And like, you look at Facebook and they own so many important other things that they've bought, like Instagram, et cetera, right? And so they are spreading their wings a little wider, and it'll be interesting to see how that works out. Tech is so many different things, and let's see how far afield they branch out. And, you know, they're going to make mistakes. I've seen a number of my companies try to buy sort of growthier businesses and trip up because they don't really understand them. Now, most of the larger tech guys know what they're doing in tech, but tech is not one thing. There's many different things, and it'll be interesting to see if some of the larger ones stumble. It's early. But yeah, I'd say that they're going in that direction. Since they grow so quickly, investors might like them better, more than they like industrial conglomerates, but they could end up being the next diversified sector.
Karen, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Karen Ubelhart, an industry analyst from Bloomberg Intelligence, talking to us about the breakups that are happening within conglomerates and whether conglomerates are still relevant in today's corporate landscape. She says it comes in waves and they might be out today, but they could be in again tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's down to how well the conglomerate is run. She mentioned Honeywell as an example where it's done really well. But even in Malaysia, we've gone through this cycle, right? Because the big breakup that we saw was, of course, Sime Darby, which is now divided into two or three companies, if I'm not wrong. So yeah, it can be popular, and it's also because sum of parts sometimes is worth more than the listed co sometimes. So you see it from a business perspective, you see it from an investment perspective, and also just in terms of it's fashionable.
Well, I mean, if there's synergies, then great, but there are none, then, you know, the question then will be, how do you allocate capital?
That's right. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.